For most of us, a new year means a fresh start and a new beginning. We set goals, assess achievements, and look for new ways to improve our lives. And if we're being honest, one of the key areas in need of annual improvement is our finances. Whether it's beginning a budget, saving for retirement, or just keeping up with the monthly payments, managing our money is often the greatest contributor to the stress in our lives. But have you ever wondered if your financial goals align with God's priorities? And what if a lack of alignment in this area is exactly what causes so much stress and worry? This year can be different. It's time to refocus our priorities and make a real change. A change for good.
Well, hello, CCV. I'm glad you made the choice to be here this weekend as we find ourselves just about 3 days into a brand new year. Or if you're like one of millions of Americans who got a Fitbit this year, you find yourselves 15 or 20,000 steps into a brand new year. However it is you're monitoring things these days, I'm pretty sure that all of us sitting here today have some big dreams, some grand ideas, right, when it comes to this new year. We feel like, in probably many of our minds, we feel like this coming year, 2016, is just going to be better. It's going to be an improvement over this past year. And that's in all kinds of areas. And maybe it's in our own health and in our own fitness. Maybe we're thinking, this is the year that I'm really going to get in shape. Or maybe it's when it comes to just our own personal time management. We think, you know what, this is the year I'm going to get up early and I'm really going to attack the day and I'm going to get things done. Or maybe it's in our job or our career or the business that we're trying to grow. Or maybe in our friendships or with our kids or our marriage or our money. It could be any number of things that we want to improve upon this year. And I just want to say to you that I think that's great. I think it's good for us to have all kinds of goals in this new year. But I also just want to say, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter how hard you work or how hard I work in this new year to make these dreams and these resolutions into a reality. There are just a lot of things in a new year that we can't be certain of. We can't make promises about. For instance, like when it comes to our health, I can't make promises about your health, nor can you. You could be on a great diet. You could be in a really good workout routine. But all it takes is one little germ or one little virus to get into your body. And how many of you know it could change your entire health outlook for the year? Or when it comes to your job or your business that you're growing or your career, I mean, you can clock in early and you can stay late and you can work diligently with everything you have, but a lot of our business world and a lot of your job and career has to do with other factors that are going on economically in our nation or in our world that you and I can't always control. Also, when it comes to your money, how much you can make and how much you can save. A lot of that is also tied to your job and some macroeconomic things that we can't always control. There are just a lot of things that we don't know for sure in this new year. But today, I do want to talk to you about one thing that you can be certain of in this new year. And this thing, it doesn't matter if you're a person here today who believes in the Bible or really doesn't completely believe in the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're a person who's been to church for the last several decades of your life, or today is one of the first days you're coming back to church in a long, long time. It doesn't matter if you're 16 years old today or 60 years old. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Here's something that I can tell you that will be true and certain for every one of us in this new year. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's simply this: wherever your money goes, that is where your heart follows. Wherever your money goes, that is where your heart begins to follow. I can promise you that, no matter who you are. To illustrate this, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this company here called Priceline.com. Do you know this company, Priceline? Maybe you've booked an airline ticket with them or booked a car with them or something like that. I've never actually done business booking tickets with Priceline. But I have interacted with this company a lot. It goes all the way back 12, 13, 14 years ago. Me and some of my buddies decided to open up our own online stock trading accounts. Have you ever done this? And we got on the Ameritrade platform, and I put $2,000 into my own personal stock trading account, and I was buying and selling stuff, and I wasn't a pro, but I was doing pretty good. And I did it for about a year, year and a half, and I kept growing my positions, and slowly I put everything I had, all of my money, into this company, Priceline.com. All of my eggs were in that basket, and because all of my money was there, my heart was also tied to this company. And I want you to know, friends, this is the honest truth. There were days where I would be at my computer, and I would check the stock of this company 50, 60, 70 times a day. And some of you know how that feels. I'm telling you, if Priceline.com had a good day, I had a good day. If Priceline had a bad day, I had a bad day. And what happened is, in the early 2000s, this stock, most stocks, just started to kind of tank. And it was going down, 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 down. And I ended up selling out of all of my Priceline shares, about 1,000 shares, at about $15 or $18, which is still a pretty good chunk of change. But I don't even want to tell you what that stock would be worth today. I would go into a mild to severe depression right here in front of you on the stage. My point in all of this today is not to tell you how much this stock would be worth. My point is just for you to know this. And if you're taking notes again, you can write this down. My point is this, that our hearts and money travel together. They just do. Our hearts and our money, they just end up traveling together in this life. And it doesn't really matter if you're investing in a stock or you're investing in a sports car or an RV or a motorcycle or home furnishings or a vacation condo, or if you're investing in some missions organization in another part of the world. I know a family that invests 30% of all of their income in a missions organization in the Dominican Republic. 30% of what they have goes to this missions organization. Now, this family lives in the United States, but guess where their heart is? It's in the Dominican Republic, because that's where so much of their resources are going. Friends, I'm telling you, wherever you invest your resources, you invest your heart. And the reason I can say that today with 100% confidence is because that's what Jesus says when he starts to talk about money in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. If you have a Bible with you or a smartphone or a tablet, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Let's take a look at what Jesus says, just briefly, about money in our lives. Starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Also, our hearts and our money, they just end up traveling together. And friends, the reason God is so concerned throughout the Bible with our money is because he's concerned with our hearts. And he knows, again, that our hearts and our resources 99.9% of the time get tangled up and twisted up together, and they just begin to travel in line with each other. And God also knows this. He knows if we're not careful as human beings, we can quickly move from owning stuff to our stuff owning us. We don't own stuff, but our stuff begins to own us in our lives. And just to make this clear and to kind of drive this point home, I want to, for just the next few moments, I want to play a quick game with you called Would You Loan It? Would you loan it? And most of you have probably never ever played this game, because I just made it up a couple of days ago, actually, for this weekend's message. It's called Would You Loan It? So for just the next few minutes, just think about this in your mind. You can answer out loud if you'd like to. We're going to start with the students. We're going to start with the teenagers. Let's say, students, you get one of these for Christmas. A brand new hoverboard, and it's amazing, and you've been praying for it, and it's this expensive, incredible gift, and you go to school this next week, and you tell all your friends about it, and you're kind of bragging about it, and a few days go by, and one of your friends comes to you and says, "Hey, This next weekend, my family is getting ready to take a weekend trip up to Sedona. And I was just wondering, this is kind of crazy, I was just wondering, could I borrow your hoverboard and take it on up to Sedona with my family? Here's the question, students. Here's the question, teenagers. Would you loan it? Would you loan it out to one of your friends to go to Sedona? Just think about that. Or what about you, ladies? We don't want to leave you out. What if you got one of these for Christmas? It's a brand new Louis Vuitton handbag. It's the big size, you know. It's also from the Delight collection. Not that I should even know that, but it is. And you've been wanting this handbag for a long time. I mean, you've been praying about it, you've been thinking about it, and finally you get this handbag, and this next week you go to work, and you're walking around, and you're carrying this handbag, and all the other ladies are noticing it, and a few weeks go by, and one of the ladies at your work says, hey, you know, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I noticed your handbag, and me and some of my girlfriends this next weekend are taking just a girls' trip away to San Diego. And I was just wondering, is there any way I could borrow your Louis Vuitton handbag to take on my girls' trip to San Diego? Let me ask you something, ladies. Would you loan it? Would you loan it? Some of you are thinking, well, you know, I'll give you my Coach bag from three Christmases ago, but not the Louis Vuitton bag. Would you loan it? Or what about you, guys? What about you? Let's say you get a set of these for Christmas, a brand new set of Ping golf clubs, and you're fired up, and you're out in your front yard, and just that little tiny patch of grass you've been saving, and you've got your, you know, one of your wedges, and you're just kind of chipping balls, and one of your neighbors comes out of his house, and he sees that you have this brand new set of golf clubs, and he comes up to you, and he says, wow, that's a really nice set of golf clubs. You know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking that it would be really fun to learn how to play golf this new year. You think there's any way I could borrow your set of Ping clubs sometime the next few weeks to go out and learn how to play golf? Some of you guys are thinking, do you want to use my new Pings to learn how to play golf? Let me ask you something, guys. Would you loan it? Would you loan it? And here's what I want to say to you, students, teenagers, male, female, husbands, wives, here's what I want to say to you. If you can't loan it, don't own it. If you can't loan it in your life, don't own it. Because here's what I would present to you. If you can't loan it, you don't own it. It already owns you. It already owns me. Isn't that crazy? It already has our hearts all wrapped up inside of it. And so as we begin this brand new year, here's what I want to do. I just want to do my best to recalibrate our hearts as it pertains to our resources. If you're taking notes this weekend, here's the big idea for the whole time of study today. Here's what I want our hearts to realize. It's simply this. We don't really own anything. We are simply managers of what God has given to us. We don't really own anything. We're simply managers of what God has given to us. Now, in the Bible, the word for managers is oftentimes the word steward. Everybody say steward. Steward. And the word steward means to take care of or manage somebody's property or their finances or their affairs. And I'm going to use the word manage and steward today in the message interchangeably. And so that we can learn this lesson as we head into a new year, I want to tell you a true story from my life. This really happened to me. And the reason I want to share this specific story with you is because I think that many of you will have a similar type thing that has happened in your life at some point. And it'll help us really learn this lesson of being owners versus managers. For me, it goes back about 7-8 years ago. I was in my office in Southern California at the church where I was the lead pastor at that point. And I got a call from a friend of mine named Eric. And Eric began to describe to me how his family had just bought this oceanfront home in Ventura. And he was telling me all about the home and how cool it was. And he was wondering if I would want to use it. He wanted to make it available to me and my family. And he paused and he asked me if that is something that I would be interested in. And so I said, well, Eric, let me pray about that for just a minute. Yes, that is something I would be very interested in. How do I do that? How does that happen? And he went on to say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. This weekend when I see you at church, I'm going to give you a key to this oceanfront home. And here's the deal. Todd, I just want you to enjoy it. I want you to be able to study there. I want you to be able to get away. I want you to be able to take your family. I want you to enjoy the place like it's yours. But Todd, I also want you to be able to share this oceanfront home with some of the other pastors on the staff. You see, he didn't know all the other pastors on our staff, but he figured that some of them also needed a place to get away. So he said, I want you to feel free to share it with the other people around you on our staff if you feel like that's right. And then he said, here's all I'm going to need to say. When I need the key back someday, if I need the key back, I want you to return the key back to me. That's the whole deal. That's a pretty incredible arrangement, isn't it? I mean, Eric goes and saves up and sacrifices and buys this oceanfront home, and then here I come on the scene, and I just get to use it. I get to enjoy it. I get to share it with other people, and he just wants me to give the key back to him at some point down the line. Now, the reason I take time to share that type of story with you today is because I believe we have a very similar arrangement with God. I think this story is also our story with God. He says from up in heaven that I'm going to give to each of you a different level and a different portion of my infinite resources. We all get different amounts of his resources, but God says, I'm going to give these resources to you based on several conditions. And these conditions that God gives us are very similar to the conditions that Eric had with me in the ocean home. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. That you and I would enjoy what God has given you. Enjoy what God has given you. God doesn't want you to feel guilty. He doesn't want you to feel burdened by the blessings he has given to you. Listen, CCV, whatever God has given to you to manage, enjoy it. Be glad about those things. Look at this section of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. For our enjoyment. We didn't invent stuff. God invented stuff. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says that every good and perfect gift we have in our lives comes from our Father above. God loves to see us, his children, young and old, enjoying the good gifts that he gives to us. And it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, think about this Christmas time that we've just come through in the last week or so. Think about some of the gifts that you were able to give. This Christmas, I was able to give, along with my wife, we were able to give my son Cole a brand new guitar amp. We were able to give my daughter Ruby a brand new pair of boots that she had been wanting. And I'll tell you what, as a dad, as a father, some of you know how this feels. Nothing fires me up more than seeing them pull off the paper and see what's inside that gift. Sometimes they expect it, sometimes they don't, and they get all excited, they get lit up, they enjoy these gifts. Nothing fires me up more than that. But let me ask you this, what if my kids didn't enjoy these things I gave them? What if Ruby, for instance, never ever wore these new boots? We never saw her wear them. Or what if my son Cole never ever plugged his guitar into that amp? Well, I'd be sad. I'd be upset about that. And it's the same with you, right? Think about some of the gifts you've given to friends and neighbors and coworkers and family members during this Christmas season. You want them to be excited. You want them to enjoy these things, right? I would say to you that it's the very same way with our Heavenly Father, that he wants you to enjoy the gifts and the blessings that he gives to you. Be glad that God has chosen to send some stuff your way. Thank God for it. But listen, here's the deal. Don't set your heart's affection on it, right? Don't put your hope and trust, as 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, don't put your trust in this kind of stuff, in just wealth here on this earth. Enjoy it, but then very quickly move on and recalibrate your heart to the second condition that God gives us in being a manager and a steward. And that second condition is that we would share what God has given. Share what God has given you. Enjoy it, yes, but also share it. Remember Eric with the oceanfront home? He said, Todd, here's the deal, here's the key. I want you to enjoy it, but I also want you to share it with other people around you. It's the same exact relationship with God. Look at this section of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. It says, remember this, A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And do not give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will give generously, providing all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I want you to see that, and you'll have plenty left over to share with others. Now, do we always have plenty left over? Some of us have more left over than others. But because of where we live in the United States of America, for most of us, there are certain seasons of life, there are certain months, there are certain years where we have some left over. So let me ask you this question. This is not a trick question, CCV. Why is it that we have, at times, plenty left over? It's so that we can share with others. You see, if God has given you more than you need, it's usually not your needs that he has in mind. He's got someone else's needs in mind. And let me share with you something else that I've observed over the last 24 years now of being a pastor in a church. It's simply this. Again, if you're taking notes, it's that God resources those who resource his kingdom. He just does. God resources those who resource his kingdom. God has chosen to change this world and affect this world by intentionally using us, right? His people, people who follow after him. He's chosen to use us to change this world. And so what God, if you can just kind of picture this in your mind, so what God is looking for is people who will get on board with his plan for this world. God is looking for people right now who will be conduits for his infinite resources. So let's just say this. Let's just say that you begin to partner with God in this process of giving this new year, giving generously back to others, sharing with those in need, investing in the local church. Let's just say that you begin to do this. Maybe you haven't done this in previous years. Maybe you have. Maybe you're just starting this year. Let's just say you begin to do this, and God notices your commitment to his cause on this earth. As God notices your commitment to his cause, what do you think he's going to do with your resources, the flow of your resources? Do you think he's going to let them increase, or do you think he's going to cause them to decrease? Now it just makes sense that he would cause them to increase. Why? Because he knows what you are going to do with the resources that he gives you. God will resource you and I as we resource his kingdom and his people on this earth. I've seen it happen over and over and over. Now, if midway through the partnership, listen to this, if midway through the partnership, you begin to resource you, if midway through the partnership, you begin to think, I begin to think that I own stuff instead of just manage or steward stuff, don't be surprised at that point if the resources that supernaturally appeared and flowed into your life begin to supernaturally dry up. Because friends, listen, God resources those who resource his kingdom. God wants to give us what we need to enjoy it, but he also, this is so big, he wants us to share with other people who are in need. He wants us to be generous to others. But what happens to us is this. Isn't this true? It's true for you. It's true for me. It's often true for me. What happens is my heart gets all tangled and tied up with my stuff, with all my cool things. It gets tied up with my money, and I start to think that I own it. Sometimes we start to think that we own it, whatever it is. And when you and I start to think that we own it, how many of you know, it gets so much harder to share it when we think that we own it. It's harder and harder to share it with other people. And even infinitely harder than sharing it with other people, oftentimes is this, returning it back to God. This is the third condition that God gives us for our hearts in the resources he gives us. If you're taking notes, he wants us to return back to him. Return what God has given to you. This is the third way to recalibrate our hearts. God has asked us at times to return some of the stuff we are stewarding back to him. And this just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, think about Eric, who owned the oceanfront home. I needed to return the key to him when he needed it and when he wanted it back because it was his to begin with. God, in the very same way, asks us to return a portion of what he has given to us back to him so that we can continue to grow and increase his cause and his mission and his kingdom here on this earth. We're supposed to return back to him. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 12, again, if you have a Bible or smartphone or tablet, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is speaking, and he tells this incredible parable that really makes this point in just a few verses. He talks about this guy who's really wealthy. He's really prosperous in his life. And as we read this story for just the next few moments from Luke chapter 12, I want you to notice how many times this guy uses the word I or uses the word my. See how many times he uses the word I or uses the word my. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And then I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy and eat and drink and be merry. Now pause right there for just a moment. In just those four verses that we've read, how many of you know that this guy uses the word I or my 11 times? 11 times in just four verses. This guy, he thought he was an owner. He thought it was all his. He thought he owned all of this stuff. And in the very next verse, in verse 20, take a look at what God's perspective is on this. But God said to him, you fool. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then just to make sure we're not off base on what's going on in this parable, in this story, Jesus wraps up the whole deal in verse 21, and Jesus says this, this is how it will be. This is how it's going to be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. And here's what I want you to see today, CCV. I want you to be certain and see what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying that this guy's problem is that he was rich. That's not what he's saying. It wasn't that he was blessed. It wasn't that he had a lot of wealth. His problem wasn't that he was rich. His problem is that what? He was not rich towards who? Towards God. His problem is that he wasn't rich towards God. That was the whole issue in his life. You see, this guy thought that if he could just collect enough stuff, if he could just collect enough wealth, then he could just kind of sit back and he could take life easy and he could eat and he could drink and he could be merry. And here's what he did. He put his trust in his wealth, in his barns, in his bank account, rather than God. And how many of you know that is so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy for us to do, for you and for me. It's so easy to put our trust in our stuff or our job or our career or our bank account that's growing better than it always has been or our stocks that are going up and to the right. I predict this for most of us around CCV in this community. This is going to be a front burner issue for many of us in 2016. Here's what we're going to want to do. We are going to be tempted to put our trust in our stuff, our wealth. It's gonna make us feel good. It's gonna make us feel secure, the amount of stuff we have or don't have in our lives. And God would say to us, I believe with all my heart, God would say, listen, I don't mind you having stuff. I want you to have stuff. I want you to have blessings. I've given you those things, but don't set your hearts on them. Don't set your hearts. Don't let it be tied to the amount of stuff that you have. In fact, I want you to trust me. And God knows this. God knows that the quickest way to initiate a transfer of trust in our lives is to begin to share stuff and return stuff to Him. When you and I take some of what we have and we give it to other people, or when we give it back to God and His church, the local church, man, that initiates a transfer of trust almost immediately, because we're then counting on Him to provide for our needs. So here's the takeaway today, CCV. Here's the takeaway. If you're still taking notes, are you ready to transfer your trust to God this new year? Maybe in previous years of your life, you've kind of been on your own and you've been up and down. As your stocks go up, you go up. As the stocks go down, you go down. Or your bank account is bigger and so you're happy. Your bank account shrinks and so you get really nervous. But you've just been trusting in yourself and your wealth to make everything secure around you. Are you ready to transfer your trust to God this new year? If you're ready to do that, I can tell you how that'll happen. It'll be by beginning right away to just be generous to other people around you in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your family, and by returning a portion of what you have to God, trusting that He's the one that's going to provide for you in this new year. Let me tell you one last quick story from my life to just kind of wrap up this message today and make sure we all head into a new year in the same direction. It goes back when we were living again in Southern California about a decade ago or more. My kids were in, Ruby was in about second grade, my son Cole was in kindergarten, and I was out working in the backyard of our house one afternoon, and my daughter Ruby came running out into the backyard screaming. She's crying, and she says, "Daddy, come in quickly, come inside quickly. Mommy is hurt. Mommy's hurt. Get inside." And so I kind of freaked out. I dropped my stuff. I ran inside, and they brought me around to Renee, my wife, their mom, who was sitting kind of in our on our stairs that came down into our front living room, and she had stumbled or she had fell, and she was laying there, and she was in severe pain. Her ankle had been severely sprained, maybe broken. There were tears coming down her face, and my kids had never really seen their mom like this. And it broke their heart. And so we went and got their mom set up on the couch, and we elevated her leg, and we put some ice on her ankle. And Ruby and Cole immediately went into the kitchen, and they made some cards for their mom out of construction paper, you know. And it was so cute, and they gave her these cards. And for the rest of the evening, the kids were on their best behavior. And so I know some of you moms right now are thinking, that's all you have to do? Just like have an ankle injury? I could do that. No, don't do that. And unless you really need to, then you could. But that you know, they're on their best behavior. I go up and I put them to bed. They both pray for their mom. It's so cute. And I come back down and I sit by Renee. It's been maybe 10 or 15 minutes have passed, and we begin to hear these little feet coming down the stairs. And it's our son Cole who's in kindergarten. And he comes up and he's got his hands cupped. And inside his hands are all kinds of pennies and nickels and dimes and maybe like one quarter. It's just full of this change. And he comes right up and he says, "I want you to have this, Mommy. It's all the money that I have." And he gives her all of this. And at that moment, his heart and how he felt about his mom was perfectly illuminated. Now, you guys know this. Renee and I didn't have any use for his $2 to $3 in change, right? But the view into his soul, the view into his heart was priceless. And I would say this, as we enter into a new year, CCB, may we be the kind of people who come back to God with our hands open and say, "God, it's all yours, all of it. It's always been yours. It's always going to be yours. I give it all back to you." I think when we do that in our lives, God looks down at us and he smiles and he says, "Thank you, but I never really needed your money. All I ever really wanted was your heart. And now that I know I have your heart, I'm ready to bless you again in a whole new way this year." Amen. Let's pray together, CCV. God, thanks for today. Thank you for the fact that you know us even better than we know ourselves. And you know how tied together our resources and our hearts can get. God, I thank you for the time that we can carve out today as we begin a new year to just spend some time studying together what it looks like to transfer our trust to you, to enjoy what we have, to share it with others, and to return to you. God, I pray that we would be involved in that this year, that you would recalibrate our hearts towards that very thing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.